Kevin Thomas, would you open us in a word of prayer? Amen. Amen. I don't know who to say the memory verse this morning. I was asking Pastor Kenny because I don't see Carla here. She's one, and she's not here in time. John and Denise are gone. They're doing with the last meetings with the fiddlers and stuff. So if you got to say the verse, can I have them say it to you, Nance? Okay, because it says, for Ezra prepared his heart to seek the Lord, or seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. That's Ezra 7:10. That was your memory verse. And what you have here in the explanation of the memory verse is he decided in his heart that he was going to learn, because you got to remember, he was of the priest class. He was going to learn God's law. And he's going to learn God's ways so he can be obedient to them. Now, what's a statute? I'm not talking about this thing that the woke people are tearing down all over the country. Okay, I'm not talking a statue. I'm saying a statute. Okay, it's another word for a law, a decree, legislation. It's a charge. It's something given that you're supposed to follow in judgments. Again, that's pointing to God's law, and it's a verdict pronounced. What we need to see as we look at this, because you got to remember last week when we were in Ezra, people had come and they'd rebuilt the temple, all right? Today we're going to look at the fact that you can have the building rebuilt, but if God's people aren't rebuilt, the building means nothing. And so we have to look at that because inward revival, and revival is not evangelism. Evangelism can be the result of revival in a person's heart. Revival is not something you can schedule. Revival is something that takes place on the inward part and the inward in your heart. So then from the inward, it shows outward. And so what you'll see with that, and this is what's taking place with Israel, and I want you to turn again to Ezra, and we're going to look at chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. When we get to this point, it says, now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalom, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merioth, the son of Zerahiah, the son of Ozi, and Buke, the son of Ebushiah, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the chief priest. What they're showing you is his lineage. He's of the priest class. He's a Levite. He's of the lineage of Aaron. Okay, and you say, why is that important? Because you're going to see, when he seeks the Lord with his heart. In the New Testament, what does God call his children? We are a kingdom of priests. We are go-betweens between the world and God in the world. And see, Ezra is a picture of something we can learn here from, and you need to understand that. The temple had been rebuilt, but the people needed to be rebuilt spiritually. They were still in apostasy. They were not doing right. They were not living right. They needed someone to guide them back to God. We have a nice building, don't we? I don't care how nice the building is. If the heart of the people within the building is not seeking God, the building means nothing. Then it just becomes an edifice. That's a fancy name for a very large building that people look at that doesn't mean anything. And so they needed someone to guide them back to God. Because you got to realize this. If we get to the place where we pay more attention to the physical things of the building and the grounds and the taking care of those things and not dealing with people, then we will not be right with God as a church. God always pays more attention to the hearts of people than he does to the things that they supposedly give to him or there for used for worshiping him. Ezra had asked the Artaxerxes, he was the Persian king, if he could leave Babylon and go back to Jerusalem, and he granted him permission. Okay, so now verse 6, it says, "And Ezra went up from Babylon as he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him." See, it's the hand of the Lord his God upon Ezra. You say, why is that important? Do you know how many churches that people go through the motions of praying? You have not because you ask and have not because you ask it that you may consume it upon your own lust. He set his heart to seek the Lord. He prepared his heart to seek him. He brought his request before Artaxerxes, who was the king that ruled over the kingdoms of the world at that time. God had changed the king's heart because one priest had prepared his heart. And we can't lose sight of that. The king granted him permission. Question, do you think Ezra had prayed before he went before him? What would happen to someone who went to come before Artaxerxes and it wasn't already scheduled? You know the story of Esther? Because that's the king. You hear what I'm saying? And if you came before him and you weren't called, what happened to you? You what, Fred? You forfeited your life because you had no right to come before him because he was worshipped as a god. And Ezra prepared his heart before the Lord. You know what, people, when you don't prepare your hearts and we don't prepare our hearts to do something, then we're afraid when we go to do it. But if you've prayed and you've truly given it to God, then all you're doing is being obedient to God because God, the prophecy had been given about the return. The 70 years was up. The temple had been rebuilt. The people needed to establish worship at the temple properly again. The king not only said yes, but we're going to see he made a decree. All right? I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21. People seem to forget this so many times. Do you know you get the government you deserve? God will give you what you deserve. Proverbs 21:1, what does it say? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water, and he turneth it whithersoever, what? God still works in the kingdoms of mankind. He made a decree. Let's go back and look here. Ezra chapter 7. Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was ready scribe in the law of the Lord, which the Lord God of Israel had given him, and the king granted him all his requests according to his hand of the Lord his God upon him. You look at the language. If you haven't read this, Artaxerxes refers to God as the God of heaven. The God of heaven. The highest God. And there went up some of the children of Israel, of the priests and of the Levites, the singers and the porters, the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was the seventh year. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem. So how long did it take to travel? 5 months by foot. That's where he's going. And you're going to find out here that Ezra made a decree. All right, and now you can look at, if we continue, verse 9, and on the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem according to the good hand of what? His God upon him. For Ezra had what? And this is your memory verse. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Because if you seek the law of the Lord, you get the knowledge. Knowledge is the attaining of information. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. And the Bible says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. So he prepared his heart to seek the Lord and to do it. I won't give you the reference. I'll tell you it's in the New Testament. I'll tell you it's not in the Gospels, and it's not in the book of Acts. So that way I'm going to make you work hard after that. For him to know to do good and doeth it not. Okay. So he set his heart to do it and to teach Israel statutes and judgments. Now this is the copy of the letter that King Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even the scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and his statutes. The scribes were part of the priest class, and their job was to do what? Copy out the law. They were to write the books of Moses. They were the church secretary who had to give the minutes of the meeting with God. All right, the scribes were to make copies of the word of God. Artaxerxes, king of kings, see, he's the potentate. Unto Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time, and at such a time. When I read that phrase, you know what it made me think about this? It made me think of Esther, right? When Mordecai says, God's placed you in this place for such a time as this. You know what I want you to understand? God didn't make any mistakes with you. You're alive here this time for such a time. Amen? I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, so he's saying all of them, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. So any that wanted to return that hadn't gotten so attached to the paganism, so tied by intermingling and intermarrying, which they weren't supposed to do, they could return. For as much as thou art sent of the king, and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God which is in thine hand, and to carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is Jerusalem. One, he said he's the God of heaven. Then he says he's the God of Israel. And he says his habitation is in Jerusalem. And all the silver and the gold thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and with the priest, offering willingly for the house of their God, which is at Jerusalem, that thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks and rams and lambs and their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that to do after the will of your God. So you take it, you do according to what your God has led you to do. The vessels also that are given for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver before the God of Jerusalem. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. And I, even I, Artaxerxes, the king, do make a decree to all the treasurers which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily. Unto 100 talents of silver, and 100 measures of wheat, unto 100 baths of wine, 100 baths of oil, and salt, without prescribing how much. Whatsoever is commanded by who? The God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of? He's saying, I'm sending you back. I want you, your God, pleased, because I don't want to be in trouble with the God of heaven. Do you understand that? You ever think about that when you've read this before? So there should be wrath against the realm of the king and of his sons. Also, we certify you that touching any of the priests, the Levites, the singers, porters, Nethinims, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose tribute or custom upon them. Boy, I wish the government knew that we're all king, we're priests under the Most High God. No more taxes, huh? So what did he do? He told them all the other Jews could go with him. He gave them silver. He gave them gold. He gave them his bank account to buy whatever they needed. He commanded other regions to give them whatever they needed. And he gave them a tax exemption. That's my kind of government. How about you? I won't say anything, but that's part of what the issue of this coming election will be about. One who believes the economy is built by government and taxes, and the other one is built by work and free trade. I don't care what you think about the woman who is now running, not even legally, and the man who has character issues. Right? I want you to look, because if you've got two choices, you got to look and see what's going on with that. There's nothing new under the sun, is there? So he gave them those things. He gave them a tax exemption. Ezra's response in this, I'm going to jump a little bit. Look at verse 27. This is Ezra's response to what King Artaxerxes decreed. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the what? The hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered together out of Israel the chief men to go up with me. Why was the hand of the God of heaven upon Ezra? For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. That hasn't changed. in the 7,000 years of man's history, it hasn't changed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And the second shall be like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It hasn't changed. If you seek Him with your heart, He will be found of you. But you can't do it half-heartedly. It can't be an addition to what you're going through in your life. It has to be above what you're going through in your life. Then what you can do, Dr. Paul Victor Gerica Makula, because that's his surname. That's why it says Dr. G. Paul Victor, because you do not want to have to spell, just ask my wife, Gerica Makula. Okay? It sounds like something out of The Lion King, doesn't it? Kuma Matata or something like that. There's a whole bunch. There's 24 letters in Brother Paul's last name. So they go by their Christian name. It's G. Paul Victor. They put the surname before that. He's built his ministry. There's a reason why he has over 200 churches underneath him now. Because his family lineage traces all the way back to William Carey, who translated the Bible into Telugu. And he didn't use the Greek and the Hebrew. He translated it from what he knew, which was a 1611 King James Bible. Okay? Carey's saying was, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. A priest of a minority group of a religion coming before the King of Kings? I want you to understand, when the Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, that's not just a saying. But you have to avail yourself of that. Amen? We let fear hold us back in the things that we attempt for Him. Ezra thanks God in that prayer. We just see that. He turns around, and what did he say to them? Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which has put such a thing into the king's heart to beautify the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem. You continue with that. That was his response. We should always be thanking God for answered prayer. You don't know how much it encourages your pastors. Pastor Kenny, your senior pastor especially, when you want to praise God for answered prayer. This church has more unspoken prayer requests than any church I've ever been in. Okay, that's between you and God, but they have more of them. But when they're an unspoken prayer request and when the prayer gets answered, you know what you need to do? You need to praise God and share that God answered those prayers. You want to be careful not to limit what God can do. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, it's just telling us about what we can have and what we comprehend. And then in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The security of knowing God's love for you, it goes beyond. The world doesn't understand that, do they? And it says in verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do what? Exceeding what? Above what? All that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Is God able to do whatever is needed? I can do through who? Which does what? Strengthens me. You can't limit him. You let your mind limit God. If he could save someone like me, he can do anything. You turn around, you realize this. Ezra traveled the journey. It was about 900 miles. And they did not travel at, well, if the thruway is 65, most people travel at 75 to 80. Right? How many people do you see on the thruway driving the speed limit 65? They're driving 65. Some people do, and those are the ones we grumble at, right? And we pull out around them and keep going. I always tell my wife, I'm going to travel with the flow of traffic until the flow is too slow. The speed limit is 55. I won't ask Bo when he's trying to get to work how fast he might go to get there. I want you to ask James DeFerio at what speed he traveled from the church yesterday to Harbor Fest. Because when we left, he was just ahead of Kevin Thomas II on a motorcycle. And I was right behind Kevin Thomas, and I wanted to stay there because I wanted to try to protect people on a motorcycle, especially somebody that I love, because a lot of people don't pay attention, right? So I'm making sure that I'm staying back so he doesn't have to worry as much, but close enough so someone's not going to go around me to get between us because people don't see motorcycles. And Kevin's traveling under the grace of God. I'll just put it that way. And we were staying within 10 miles over the speed limit. Okay, it's 55 miles an hour. And James disappeared. And by the time I got to Oswego, he was parked and getting out of his truck. And I parked right behind him. And so I want you to pick on him, okay? Okay, but I'm saying with that, we travel differently. They were traveling by mule, horse, camel, oxen. Do you know when the settling of America, if they traveled 20 miles a day to go across the country, that's what they traveled? It took them 5 months to go 900 miles. Ezra gets there, he proclaims a fast. Let's go back to our text. Ezra chapter 7, we're looking at this. Okay, he proclaimed a fast. If you look at this, let me see here. In Ezra chapter 8, we won't spend the time going over the chapter. If you read through it, he proclaims a fast. A fast is something that can help you when you're praying. It's not a magic bullet. If you study prayer and fasting, if you're living like the devil and you fast expecting that to help your prayers to be answered, guess what? It's not going to do anything for you. But if you're fasting to deny your physical self to show God that you're humbling yourself before him and you've made your heart prepared to seek him, It puts you in a place where you know then that you're serious with God about it. And God honors that. There's a biblical fast, and it's used so that your heart and mind is not on your physical needs, but on your prayers and supplications before the God of heaven. Amen? Okay. And he asked for God's protection. That's what you find through Ezra chapter 8. And he comes to Jerusalem. He gets there in chapter 8. Now in chapter 9, he arrives and he's very disappointed. Look at verse 1. Now when these things were done, the priests came to me saying, the people of Israel, the priests, the Levites, have not what? Separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. That group of mites did child sacrifice. The Moabites to the god Chemosh. You can change the name for the different mites, okay? Just like they still do child sacrifice in India today to the Nile River, not the Nile River, to the Ganges River, the river god. They still do that today. They'd adopted the false worship of the people of the land that had come in there into the land. They had not separated themselves from the heathen. You know why that would happen? When the king came to the false prophet to say, how can I take down the people of God? He ends up telling them to intermarry. Why would the god of this world, not the God of heaven, because that's another name for Satan, the prince and power of the air, the anointed cherubim that covereth, the accuser of the brethren, Apollyon and Abaddon. Why would he want God's people so intermixed with the pagans that you couldn't tell them apart? You ever think about that? It had been promised in Scripture that the Messiah would come through the tribe of Judah. If you can destroy the tribes, you can destroy the prophecy that the God of heaven had given. He wanted them to mix the tribes. He wanted them married and practicing their pagan practices. The leaders were the worst ones. Verse 2, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed, the priest class, have mingled themselves with the people of these lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and of the rulers have been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle and plucked off the hair of my head and my beard and sat down astonished. He sat down astonished. You ever think about this? Listen to me. Loss of separation from this world, believer, will cause loss of God's blessing. Loss of separation causes loss of God's blessing, which causes loss of identity, which brings confusion and compromise and chastisement from the God whose child you are, if you're saved. Do you hear me? Loss of separation will cause loss of God's blessing, will cause loss of identity. It'll bring confusion to do. I just don't know. I used to think this. I used to believe this. I just don't know anymore. I used to be able to tell you what God's Word says, and I just can't seem to do that anymore. I don't know what's right anymore. Do you know there's people who claim to have been born again who turn around and they will support someone who's pushing transgenderism? I read about it in the early hours of this morning. Person's given a Christian testimony of their salvation and is supporting homosexuality and acceptance. That's a loss of identity and confusion. The leaders were the worst ones with that. Ezra was so mad, he was pulling out his hair. You ever felt like that before? Kevin says, look at me. I won't talk anything about Kevin's children. The only reason I said that, Rebecca, because you're looking at me. So I had to just tweak just a little bit there, okay? It's not your fault. It was Nancy. Okay. He was pulling out his hair. What did he do about it? Go to verse 5. And at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. He's on his face doing what? And said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities. Now watch what he did. Was that what Ezra was doing? No. But he was of God, there to represent, and he identified with the children of God, and he says, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for whose iniquities? He didn't say their iniquities. Look at that, okay? Our iniquities increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass. So he went from our to we have been in a great trespass unto this day. And for our iniquities have we, our kings, our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to the spoil, to the confusion of face. Remember I said it causes confusion? As it is this day. And now for a little space, grace had been showed from the Lord our God to leave us as a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. A little space, a remnant, a nail where? In his holy place. Lighten our eyes. That's to take them from the bondage and the weight upon them and helping them to see that it was going to be better. Child of God, set your affection on things above and not things on this earth. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God and to repair the desolations thereof and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land, with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abominations which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace with their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds, see the language? For our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hath punished us less than our iniquities deserve, and has given us such a deliverance as this, we should again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations. Wouldest not thou be angry with us till thou hast consumed us, so that there should be no remnant nor escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespass, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. He includes his own sin and says ours over and over again. He acknowledged past sins in verse 7. He thanks God for God's grace in the midst of the sin in verses 8 and 9. He knows that they didn't learn their lesson in verse 10. He's thanking God in verse 13 for his mercy, and he praises God's righteousness and confesses their sinfulness. When I read this, you knew what I immediately thought of? Daniel, held up as one of the most righteous men of all the Bible, the Old Testament, Daniel and Job. And if you read Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 9, he's confessing and uses the same word, our sin. I'm saying this, that's why it's important when a brother be overtaken with a fault, ye which are spiritual, do what? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Don't look down your nose just because someone doesn't know what your sin is. Okay? It takes us to chapter 10. We'll try to finish up here. Ezra's remorse and sorrow convicted the people and motivated them to repent. Verse 1. Now when Ezra had prayed and when he had confessed, weeping and casting himself down before the house of God, there assembled unto him out of Israel a very great congregation of men and women and children, for the people wept very sore. He's praying, they're hearing. The people got convicted and it motivated them to repent. Because he was praying, he wasn't going, oh God, I am not like other men. I fast oft. I give tithes of all that I have. I pray three times a day. And I do this and I do that. But those people, no, he said, we have sinned. Our sin has come between you and me. Paul Askew is a man who came to our church. Kevin knows him very well. He moved to be closer to his family. He's struggling. He still communicates with me quite a bit. He's looking for Christian ministries and stuff. And he's on disability. He's retired and stuff. And he has heart trouble and he has back trouble. He has a bunch of things. He's a good man. Okay, he's a unique personality. But he takes scrap wood. This is made out of redwood. And it says, Jesus, a bridge over troubled water. It says, put your trust in the Lord today. And then it's a little covered bridge. Isn't that kind of neat? Little covered bridge. You know what it says on the inside? He sent it to me and says, Pastor, talk with Pastor Kenny. And if you think you guys could use some, let me know. And I'll you send the money. I'll ship them to you. Because he doesn't have very much money. He's living on less than $1,000 a month. Okay? And you know what it says? It says Isaiah 43, verses 2 and 3. The Lord has brought me through many difficult times. I share God's love and grace by giving out bridges. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He goes in the hospital and gives them away. Goes to the nursing home, gives them away, gives them a track. Looks for a chance to pray. You say, what am I saying to you? Bear ye one another's burdens. He struggled when he came here. I'm not going into what his personal life is and what happened when he was here, but how God transformed some things for him. How people tried to help him here, and he's tried to take that where he lives now. He ended up coming to this church because the church he was in, that wasn't happening for him. That needs to be the testimony of Emmanuel continually, doesn't it? So that we can be, for other people, a bridge over. See, I can tell you, I'm still caught up in Simon and Garfunkel, all right? I know where Nancy was going and looking at her. Okay? It's important that we be separated from the world. Okay? He prayed, they confessed. Look at verse 9 of chapter 10. Then all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered themselves together unto Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the 9th month on the 20th day of the month, and all the people sat in the street of the house of God, trembling because of the matter, and for the great rain. And Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, ye have transgressed and have taken strange wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers to do his pleasures and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. For Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. When you do, it leads other people to do it. There was a great storm had come in. This was about December 20th, around that time, around the winter solstice in the pagan religions. It doesn't normally rain at that time over there. But you know what it was? It was a picture of God cleansing his people when they come to him with sorrow and a broken and contrite spirit, repentance and faith. Nothing new under the sun. Stay here for a second, but turn to Psalm 51. Psalm of David's confession of David's sin. Verse 17 of Psalm 51, when David was getting his heart right with God, he said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. It took from December to April to straighten that problem out. You can read it in the text. I won't take the time. We're starting to run over. And you know what? Sometimes the consequences of sin, when it enters into someone's life, doesn't go away overnight. Do you realize 1 second of sin may result in a lifetime of reaping? The law of sowing and reaping is you always reap more than you sow. There's a fruit that comes out of that. The spiritual leaders were the first ones to repent, because they were also the ones, because they were the leaders, to lead the others into sin. If the leaders don't follow God, the people will follow the leader. Ezra had high hopes. He was disappointed when he got to Jerusalem. When you go to do something, we prayed, we're looking for God to save souls. There was an expectation to get there. We're not going to be able to find a parking space. There was 1/10 of the foot traffic that you normally see, or less than 1/10 during Harborfest. A little bit more than normal, but hardly nothing. I remember one of the first times we went down there, Karen got a chance to witness to Governor Pataki on the street corner during Harborfest. They used to say before COVID they could be upwards of 300,000 people come through Oswego for Harborfest. We've given out as many as 15,000 tracts during Harbor Fest. Probably yesterday there was a few hundred, which is more than we normally don't give anywhere near that. So there was some traffic, but it wasn't what our expectations were. But why were we there? Because we had prepared our hearts to seek the Lord. I didn't get to lead anybody to the Lord. I got a good back spasm out of standing for 2 hours. By the time I left, Michael came a little bit later. What's the name? Prayed to receive Jesus Christ on the street corner yesterday. Another young man looking to 16-year-old to see if he can get his grandparents to bring him to church. Our expectations were much greater than the results. But you know what? There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And nothing that was done in vain, because it was done to bring glory to God with a broken and contrite heart. There's ladies who came and stayed the whole time from noon to 5. Why? Because they prepared to want to give glory to God and to proclaim. When we do a Lord's table, and I'll finish up, we say you examine your heart, right? You know what you're trying to do? Prepare your heart to be able to come before God and to receive the communion without there being a problem between you and your Savior. Because it says, and because some are weak, some are sick, some even sleep. That's how serious God takes that thing. So there has to always be a confession of sin before you can do anything for God. If they'd have just rebuilt the temple and not rebuilt God's people, it would have just been a waste of time. As you go forward through this week from Sunday, are you getting your batteries recharged? Is there something that you're asking God to revive your heart about so that he can use that to continue to reach through you to bring glory to him? All God's people said, amen. Take a break.